This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. State Senator Dallas Hurd in with us today. Thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
I know it's been a busy time with a lot of things going on. Now, what kinds of things have you been involved in as a state senator over the past few weeks?
Well, obviously, we've all been dealing with the fire situation. You know, I mean, that was just awful. What's happened? The smog and the smoke was tough on everybody's health, you know, mental and physically. But to have, you know, I think last time I heard the count was about 109 homes. Is that right, Kyle?
Yep.
You know, to have 109 families lose their place of residence is just this is the kind of stuff that, you know, just shouldn't happen. So, you know, tragedy does happen in this life, but I think it's really showing how we've really got to start coming to the table and saying, hey, the way that we're managing things, you know, with our force and whatnot, it's just not working. There's only so much these men and women in the firefighting industries can do to stop these things. I was really pleased to see a lot of the volunteer efforts and the donations and just how this community really came together as good or better than any community in the state to really support each other. And so one of the million reasons why I'm so proud and honored to serve this community. Beyond that, you know, I've just been doing a lot of campaigning, primarily for other candidates. Technically, I am up for re-election, but, you know, I've really been focused on other races and other parts of the state, primarily because this community, I feel like, is wise in its decision-making and realizes we need to get a balance of power back into Salem and get away from the supermajority that's primarily controlled through the most liberal factions of the Eugene and Portland population. That said, I've been spending a lot of time up in Portland lately, giving a lot of public speeches. I recently went to the largest Romanian church on the entire West Coast here in the United States. They have 1,400 members there up in Portland, specifically the Oregon City kind of area. But there's roughly 100,000 of these Romanian community folks up in Portland and kind of more south of Portland there, Kyle. And so between the old Russian believers and the Slavic community, I've talked to about the folks here on the radio several times this year and last year, you combine the Romanian community in with them, we're talking over 300,000 immigrant first-generation and second-generation Americans that culture, they have not been registered previously. They have not been engaged politically, whether it's voting or donating or running for elected office, on and so forth. So I don't necessarily anticipate them being a massive, massive impact this fall here in a month on legislative seats and whatnot, but I do think they will be a massive impact by 2022's election cycle. I think you're going to see probably an extra 100 to 200,000 easy new votes. And, you know, they're going to be very conservative leaning, very pro-freedom. These are folks that were born, raised, and brutalized under the fist of communism. The kind of stories that were told to me afterwards when a lot of their folks took me out to lunch and just talked with me about what they had been through and what their kids had been through, just puts shivers down your spine. So the crazy thing about this was they were doing a very limited capacity setup, and so they only had about 300 to 350 people there that day because of the restrictions on their rows and their pews and whatnot. But they had over 1,000 of the additional folks that weren't there watching it on their online live feed. Of the 300 to 350 people that were there that day, over 200 of them, as soon as I got done speaking and they were released from service, went out into the lobby where we had the Slavic Vote nonpartisan group's booth set up with their volunteers. Over 200 of those Romanian Oregonians got registered to vote for the first time ever in just one meeting. So, I mean, you think about that. That's roughly 2 out of 3 people that were there. From what I'm being told, a lot of their folks were registered, so that's probably the 100 or so folks that didn't register. Slavic Vote's been doing a lot of great work with Slavic and Russian communities this year and last year. They said that was by far the biggest one-day drive on new voter registration they've ever had, by far. And so it just goes to show you there's a lot of great people out there that really know where the socialism and communism thing is taking us, that once they start to hear there's leadership out there and there's opportunities for them to get plugged in, they're like, where do I sign up? And so, yeah, I was just really encouraged by that.
I don't know about this specific community, but I know in the old Russian community, I think it was last time around, and I can't remember the office, somebody became the first person from that community to hold elective office, I think, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it may have been a city council seat, or I'm mm-hmm. not sure what it was, but that was a new thing, because traditionally, much like the Amish, those folks have stayed sort of apart from the yeah. political end of things.
Yeah, they in large part have stayed disconnected. From what I understand in the conversations I've had, it's because they were born and raised in communism. So all government has ever represented to them is oppression. You know, before that, it was kings and czars and people like that. So it's always been totalitarian leadership over these people. They've really never known or understood what freedom is from a birth going forward type experience, like those of us who are blessed to be born in the United States. And so once you broke through that wall there that was in place because of their life experience that they then have handed down to their children that are born in the United States, once they saw that there was a servant leader out there that's on fire for them and has the same kinds of hopes and dreams for the future, and the same respect for not only my own freedom but for theirs, once they saw that that was a real thing, they just gravitate and go running towards it. I mean, it's funny, like my pastor was the one from Camas Valley Christian Fellowship who got me plugged in with these folks. He explained to me, I mean, this thing kept going back and forth. Their pastor was the one that wanted me to come originally, and they were going to give me like 20 to 30 minutes to talk, which was pretty intimidating to me, that amount of time to talk in a church service. This is the first time I've ever spoken in front of a actual congregation in a church on a Sunday. And so it was a bit of an intimidating thing for me. But it went back and forth with their elder board and him on whether they were going to let me come at all afterwards, after the conversation kind of got going the last 6 weeks. In the end, they settled on giving me 15 minutes, and they were on fire when I was done. I just could not believe the reception. And the thing is, folks, like, these are really conservative, just like, and when I say conservative, meaning they're just really prim and proper, kind of quiet, just real sweet and nice people. But it was amazing. Once they felt like they kind of had the green light to get excited, the passion just exploded out of them towards the end of that speech. And so, yeah, I'm just really excited. I also found out that there's a large Filipino and Vietnamese culture up there that's the immigrants that have come from overseas and are very conservative and within the evangelical community and have not been engaged previously. So I'm looking to engage them in the future here, too. So we could be talking easily a third of a million plus people that are very, very similar in the thinking of how we down the dominant amount of voters down in this community think about, you know, economy, keeping your money once you earn it instead of giving it all to the government, minimal government, freedom and liberty for all people. It's just really an exciting thing for me to actually have found this massive civilization of people that I didn't even know existed last year.
You know, and this is like a total aside, but just from a speaking standpoint, it's got to be very different when you're normally talking about being a state senator and all the political meetings, especially things that you would have pre-COVID and all of that, mm-hmm. to then get put in the very traditional church setting. That had just that element had to be very different.
It was, yeah. It was obviously a more faith-based type conversation. You know, I am a believer in Christ. You know, definitely not a perfect person. I've offended a lot of people in my life and done a lot of stupid things in my life, so I don't want anybody to think, because I am a believer in Christ, that I think I am a very good representation. But I believe in my Lord for a lot of different reasons. As I've gotten older, my faith only becomes more affirmed. So it was an easy conversation for me to talk about faith. It was obviously very different to have a state elected official talking about, probably in the context of the conversation, 70 to 80% focused on faith and how it relates to what I believe is all believers' mission and job that is decreed by God for us to be heavily invested in our neighbors. You know, I'm just trying to explain to people, you have to stand strong. The radical left, not the left, not all Democrats, but the radical factions of what is now controlling the Democratic Party, both state and federally, meeting them with hatred, meeting them with all the different things that they are doing to the other parts of society is not the way to go forward into this. You have to stand strongly for your rights, for your neighbor's rights, but you have to do it with love and strong conviction and good arguments, not with insults and lies and deceit and all the hatred and stuff we're seeing out there from the protests and the riots we're seeing. That's why a couple times now when it's come up, I've spoke about it on the radio and whatnot. I've tried to encourage people that consider themselves or others consider to be right-leaning that might get a little amped up sometimes. Let's not have these signs saying hateful things. If you want to say Kate Brown's not doing a good job, fine, but we don't need to use profanity. We don't need to get all in people's faces and whatnot. And for the most part, folks on the right don't. I just don't see that behavior out of them. That's just the honest truth. But you know, your elected officials need to be the kind of people that call out both sides when they're doing things wrong and not just turn a blind eye. So there are people out there that are radical that I guess some people would consider to be right-leaning. I just consider them to be radical, period. Like, I don't really consider them to be conservative or anything like that. Anyone who thinks it's their job to get physically violent or even verbally violent has no place in the groups I frequent, you know, as far as that kind of a movement of freedom and liberty. Freedom and liberty and conservatism commands you to be respectful of others. Now, if they're actively trying to take away your rights to travel, your rights to earn an income, your rights to educate your children how you see fit, your rights to pray, to be a man and woman free to worship and pray to whoever you wish. If they're trying to take those things away from you, your right to self-defense, things like that, now we've got a different conversation. But like I told those folks up in that church on Sunday, I said, we have the most powerful weapon that's ever been created, and it changes hearts and minds, and it requires no violence. It's called a vote. And it's amazing how many people have not been doing what is, in my opinion, the very least we can all do, which is be registered to vote and vote with that passion and zeal of knowing who and what we're voting on, and then spreading that good news to those who will actually listen to us that we're invested in. So it's an ever-changing experience that I'm very I'm explosively passionate about, and I just can't wait to see where it's going to take this state in the next couple years.
State Senator Dallas Hurd, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show coming up at 4 with the Commissioner of Dirt, State Senator Dallas Hurd, in talking about a number of things he's been involved in recently. It's amazing that here we are just 6 days away from the deadline to register to vote, and a lot of people in the midst of COVID-19 and the wildfires and everything else, it's like, oh, there's still an election going on.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, like I've been telling to people, you know, lately, I said, if life that has been 2020 was a TV series, I would have already changed the channel, because I'd have been like, this is too cheesy. It's too drama packed. It's too ridiculous to be even remotely close to reality. Well, unfortunately, it's the life we're living is what we're talking about. And it has been. It's just been awful this year, the kind of things that have happened to our society and our local community. And boy, I'm hoping that things are going to change in 2021. I'm hoping that the radical factions out there that just continue to want to slash and burn entire communities across this country are going to be pushed back on. I'm hoping we're going to start seeing a national unified push to support our men and women in uniform, because let's face it, the vast, vast, vast majority of those men and women are some of the best people in society that are our law enforcement, whether it's state police, county, city, it doesn't matter, folks. And yet we've got a major political party who throughout the majority of the last 6 months has been firmly rooted in dismantling our police forces, defunding our police forces. So what? So the worst of society can have free reign over the rest of us? I mean, what the heck are we talking about here? It's just been a wild, crazy year. Before I forget, Kyle, I'd like to mention to the folks listening, we are going to have our final rally, political protest rally, freedom rally, whatever you want to call it, Friday next week, the 16th, I believe, 6 p.m. at Stewart Park. Again, that's 6 p.m. the 16th, Friday next week, at 6 p.m. at the Half Shell. And it's going to be myself talking primarily about, you know, the districts we're focused on. And we're going to have packets to hand out for folks to be able to go, you know, make phone calls, write personal letters to folks over in that Senate District 5 race that are registered Republicans or identified as registered conservative voters that have not been filling out their ballots according to county clerk information and whatnot. And so we're just looking for good folks that want to do their part to help us keep freedom and liberty alive. We're also also trying to secure, but it's not yet confirmed, having one of those folks from the Romanian community come down and speak to the life they lived in Romania and the communist rule that they had to endure and how they escaped. I mean, folks, these people didn't leave. Most of these people didn't leave because they were allowed to. They left because they had to, and they had to escape. They had to risk life to actually get out of that country. That's the thing that's amazing about communist countries that nobody in the liberal pop culture and whatnot wants to talk about. They build walls to keep their people in. Okay, they have national defense a lot of times, primarily focused on keeping their own people in. Why do you have to do that? Their people want to leave because it's so awful there. They're not real people anymore. They're slaves. There's still a ruling class. There's still a rich class. There's just very, very few of them. And all the rest of us are peasants in those types of scenarios. So it's 100% a failure. It's an evil government system. Communism and socialism is evil. Helping out your neighbor is something you can do by choice. You don't need the government to force you against your will. I want you to start really taking people to task that are running for elected office, primarily in the Democratic Party, who want to say, you know, government needs to do this and do that, tax and then spend on all these different things. Ask them, why do they think you and I are not smart enough or good enough to make those decisions on our own? Why are we not capable of keeping our own money and making our own decisions? I want to know what their answers are. So because otherwise we're going to turn into what these people fled and risk life and limb. It's just amazing stuff. So I hope you'll come on the 16th to Stewart Park at 6 p.m. and hear what one of these brave individuals went through, because the stories I heard after I got done speaking at that church this past Sunday, it'll make you cry. It'll make you fear what's going on here, but it'll also inspire you to get up and do the right thing and start investing in your future and your children's future. Because when you hear it from people who've actually lived it, you're like, wow, I got nothing to complain about. It's time to take action.
Are you concerned about with everything else going on? Now, it is a presidential election year. Obviously, there's a lot of attention to that, that people just aren't really as focused outside of that on a lot of the other races.
Oh, yeah, that's always a concern. But that's just something that, historically speaking, has always been a reality. But I will say I've never seen people this focused on these state and house races. We've got Secretary of State's race with Kim Thatcher running against Shamia Fagan. I mean, that's a clash of good versus evil. I'm just going to tell you. Kim Thatcher is one of the most wonderful, amazing people you could ever meet in life. She is a perfect replacement of the late, great Dennis Richardson. And Shamia Fagan from the Senate Democrat Caucus out of Portland, she might be the only person in politics that has a nastier reputation for being mean and ornery to people than Brad Avakian, the guy that Dennis beat for Secretary of State, who was the former Labor Commissioner. Brad Avakian was. But the thing is like they're both stellar, talented people. I mean, I don't have good things to say about the attitude and the beliefs of Senator Fagan, but I'll be the first to tell you that's one of the most fiercely intelligent, hardworking, cunning, just strategic. The woman is a machine, so she's something to fear. That's just all there is to it. Thank goodness we have a hardworking, talented, smart person in Senator Thatcher, who also has great character and just loves everybody. The thing I love about Senator Thatcher is you don't have to think exactly what Kim thinks for her to love you. You don't have to be exactly like her or even support her for her to be still supporting your rights. And that's the kind of person we want to be able to call Madam Secretary. These Senate races and House races, we do have a lot of people focused on it. I don't care what the major media says. I'm here to tell you, I've never seen so much passion and focus on helping out the more freedom, liberty, conservative side of society's elected and running for elected office candidates than I'm seeing this year. I've never seen anything like it. When I was up in Portland, Kyle, I drove all over Portland that day, going to different restaurants and churches and different things like that. So I did a pretty good little loop around Portland. I literally saw one residence with a Biden sign. One. I saw Trump stuff everywhere. Now, I'm not saying that Oregon's going to go Trump, but I think it shows a very good perspective of the lack of enthusiasm for Mr. Biden and the enthusiasm for the president. So I think that right there, it's bigger than it was between Clinton and Trump last time. I mean, I've said this privately. I'll say it publicly. Hillary Clinton is a superior candidate to Joe Biden. And if Trump could beat him back then, beat her back then, I don't know how he's not going to do it this time. So, but I will say this, folks, no matter what happens this November, those of you who want freedom and liberty like I do, it does not matter to me what happens this November. We have to keep fighting and we have to start taking our children's educations back. We need to start taking the future back so all people can prosper and survive all this mess we're dealing with right now. That means you have to look forward to the year 2022, no matter what happens this November. But in the end, I think it's going to go good.
State Senator Dallas Hurd, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Have a great week.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.